I think we can say another amen, and all the people, all of God's people said, amen. See, that's why you don't want me in the choir, Carol. We're going to continue our summer sermon series on the Ten Commandments. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to read along with me. We're looking at the fourth commandment today. We'll be reading Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. This idea predates the Ten Commandments. You can look back to Exodus 16, where the Hebrew people were provided the manna and the quail. If you remember, the Hebrews, they were enslaved, they were oppressed, and so they cried out to God. God, the I Am, heard their cries, and so he led them out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage. They crossed the Red Sea. And then after 3 days of traveling, they were thirsty. So they came to this area called Marah, and they went to drink out of the water source that was there, probably a little pond, but it was bitter. I would imagine trying to, like, drink vinegar. And so Moses, doing the sensible thing, he threw a stick in the water, and it turned it to this sweet water for them to drink. I imagine that was one of the miracles where they turned vinegar into the southern sweet tea we love to drink there. They again found themselves wandering in the desert, in the wilderness. Again, they cried out, they complained, they grumbled. They were hungry. They were thirsty. They even said, you know, we would be better off if we were back in Egypt as slaves again. At least then we had food for us to eat. This is a crisis of faith that the Hebrew people had. They found themselves worrying about where their meal is going to come from. And they forgot about all the miracles up to this point that God had provided to them that led them out of Egypt. And so they complained. They grumbled. And that's there where God provided for them in the evenings, the quail, and in the morning, the manna. He gave them instructions, go out each morning and collect just enough for you and each person in your household. Don't collect more than you need just for the day. Well, there were some folks, you know, as always, that don't follow the rules, and they got more than they needed for that day for their family, and they found that it was rotting. Then on the sixth day, he says, go out and collect a double portion, because the seventh day is a day of rest. This was the command, he said. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy day. This fourth command is the only commandment that is explained and referenced by God's action. Not here in the Exodus narrative, but we see it in the creation account. God created the heavens and the earth and everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. And so the Sabbath is about rest. When we remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, we are remembering the act that God did himself and he demonstrated before us was to take a day of rest. Let's face it, folks, we do not have unlimited power and resources. In order for us to be our best, we need to rest. If we remember back to the very first commandment, God says, you should not have any other gods before me. We summed it up by saying, let God be God. In other words, let God be in charge, because God's good at taking care of us. We just sit back and trust in him and have faith. It's interesting, Kathy brought up the prayer request for the folks in Haiti and their need. And I was going to share an illustration of our mission trip in Haiti this past March. We did a medical mission trip down there. And for about 20 or so years, every 2 years, I have a group of doctors from First Baptist Salisbury, my home church, and they call me up and they want to go on a medical mission trip. And so we've been going every 2 years or so to Guatemala. And they, in exchange for me leading the trip by setting up all the food, the lodgings, the travel, getting all the medicine ordered, basically taking care of the group from when they arrive until when we leave the following day, they will cover the expenses of my trip, and it's something I've enjoyed doing. But it's a lot of work, and there's a lot of anxiety. There's some times where you kind of worry, like, for example, the time that I was driving a group down the main highway near Huehuetenango and was pulled over by the federal police force, and they come up to my door with their guns and everything, and I think the Lord was with me there, and he helped my Spanish get through. I don't know how I got out of the ticket or whatever I was doing wrong, but if that had been the very first part of my trips, I probably would have never went back to Guatemala. But at that point, God helped me in my Spanish and made it through. All that to say, there's a lot of worry in leading these trips. So when we went to the medical mission trip to Haiti this past March, or might even been up to April, whenever we went this past spring, I didn't have to worry about any of the plans because Pastor Mark Bryce was in charge. We had three different teams going in all different types of directions, and he worked out all the logistics of where we were going to go. He worked out making sure we had all the materials and the supplies that were going to be for the construction team. We made sure we had everything fed. He had student nurses that was going as well, and pastors and all the communities. He did a phenomenal job of organizing everything, and I just remember thinking to myself how much work he was putting into this. At the same time, it was nice to sit back and to rest and just to focus on doing the one task that God had called me to do, to not worry about all the other details that were out there. When we let God be God in our lives, when we let God be in charge, it allows us just to sit back and to rest in the promise that God's going to take care of us, to rest in the peace that comes and knowing that God's got this plan for us and everything's going to be all right. So when we obey this fourth commandment, when we remember God, it's a reminder that God is about rest. And at the same time, the Sabbath is a gift to us. It's a blessing for us. When we were younger parents and our boys were little, when they would get in trouble, when they would not obey the rules that was there, the punishment would be time out. Anybody remember time out for those folks? And Mel and I used to joke, please, please, someone put me in time out. I would love just 30 minutes aside from just our busy life schedules. It can be seen as a gift. And this a commandment, it applied to everyone. If you remember from our text, you shall not work, nor anyone in your household, the sons, the servants, the tenants, the animals. Just a short time ago, the Hebrew people were slaves, were forced to work every day. And now God has given them a gift where they get one day off, a day of rest. So this day of the Sabbath is to be seen as a gift, a blessing. Why then is it so hard for us to rest? Anyone ever ask, what do you do? And a lot of times we respond with our vacation. We attach our identity, who we are, by our vacation of what we do. I've shared with y'all before, sometimes I don't like telling folks I'm a minister because that sometimes changes the conversation. But we respond with our vocation, and so a lot of who we are is what we do because we're so attached to our work. And we find ourselves sometimes busier than we want to be. A friend of mine by the name of Bobby Cheek, he was the principal up at Grayson County High School up in the mountains of Virginia. And he had kids that were the same age as our boys. He actually was, one of his sons was playing on Owen's baseball team. And he was telling me that he's decided to not be the principal anymore, but instead to go back to teaching within the middle school. And I asked him, well, why did you make that decision? He says, well, apart from the major pay cut, which would be a little bit of a struggle. He said it was all about time. He said with job, it demanded so much of his time that he missed out on some of the things that he wanted to take part in, to be there for his kids. So by giving up being a principal, he had more time as a teacher to coach his daughter's softball team, to coach his son's team. And for Bobby, it was a choice that he made, a choice to cut back on his work so he could be there more for his family. Sometimes it's hard for us to cut back on the amount of work that we do. How many of y'all have to-do lists? I've got a to-do list for work. I've got a to-do list for home. And I will say that there are things on those to-do lists that have been there for years. And I've learned that there's going to be things that are always going to be on there that I'm never going to accomplish. And sometimes I find myself worrying and stressing out about trying to get all these things that I need to be done. When I go home and I have just a day off, I find myself working on project and project instead of just resting like I may need to be. Sometimes it's hard for us to cut back and to rest. What's your favorite day of the week? Mondays, Wednesdays, you're halfway through the week, Friday because the weekend's there. Saturday, if you're a college football fan. I remember one of my first mission trips, we were heading up to Queens, New York to work with Hispanic church. And so we were being trained, given some pointers and some Spanish words, and just trying to explain to a little bit about the Hispanic culture. And the guy from my home church was saying that for Hispanics, Sunday is the most important day of the week for them because it's the day they get to go to church. And I found that out because they didn't just go to church for 1 hour and they're done. They were at church all day, and that's where they loved to be, and that's where they wanted to be. That Sabbath day was important for them to be with their church family. This kind of leads into another way that we can remember the Sabbath to keep it holy is through our worship. For the Hebrew people, the day of Sabbath initially wasn't about a day of worship, but by time we get to New Testament time, by Jesus' time, folks were starting to gather on the Sabbath in the synagogue for worship. So how then does a day of rest become a day of worship? It reminds us of creation. To rest is then to worship because we remember God and the gift that he gave us that day off and rest. For those who have been blessed so far to serve on mission trips or even just on your family vacation, when you take a break from the normal day-to-day activities of your work, of your school, of your busy schedules, of all your to-do lists, and you just get away, you find yourself able to rest. On those mission trips, when we don't focus on what we have to do so much for our work and our family and those things, but focus on what God's called us to do, we're able to hear God's voice. When the noise and the distraction dies down, we're able to hear God better, and we're able to rest. When the Hebrews took their time to rest, they shared stories. And their story was the Exodus story where God had led them out of slavery, out of Egypt, where God rescued them. When we worship, we are reminded of Christ who rescued us through his death and resurrection on the cross. Let's take a moment and just gaze upon the cross here in our sanctuary. We go through different seasons within our church. Advent is a time where we prepare ourselves for the celebration of Christ's birth. We have the season of Epiphany, the season of Christmas, and that leads us to the season of Lent where we prepare ourselves for the celebration of the Easter event. But I was once challenged, and I'm going to extend that challenge to all of us today, is to consider every Sunday a Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday is a day that we're able to come in and to remember God through the gift of his Son, Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and was raised from the grave. So it's a day that we come together just like we do on Easter Sunday And we celebrate with our prayers, our meditation, with our music, with everything we do. We give our worship to God in celebration for what God has done for us through Christ. And so when we remember the Sabbath, when we take time to keep it holy, we worship God by remembering Christ. So how then are we able to take this commandment, to apply it to our lives, to live it out? Let's take some self-time as we rest on the Sabbath. Make sure we take time to pray and to meditate. Let's take some Bible time where we then delve into the Scriptures, where we read some Bible verses, where we go back and reread the story of the Exodus narrative or the creation account, and to be reminded of what God did for the Hebrew people and the truth and the promise He has for us as well. And then we gather for worship for some church time, for a time to come together as the church to worship God. But at the same time, this evening, an opportunity just to gather for just a fun fellowship with our church family, to enjoy the beauty of God's creation outdoors. Remember that by resting, we are remembering God. What is it that you need to do to be able to rest? What is it that you need to be able to do to recharge your batteries? For some, it's that given Sunday afternoon nap. For others, it could be, you've heard me share, I like to get out and to run. Time just to get away and to take time to pray and to think and just to experience God's presence around. Only you can answer that question, and let that be our challenge for all of us today. As we take time to obey this fourth commandment, as we take time to remember God by setting aside a day of rest, to worship God, to make it holy, what is it that you can do specifically to rest in God? Let's pray. God, as you provided the manna and the quail for the Hebrew people, as you continue to be with them through their journey from Egypt to the promised land, Lord, we hold on to those promises that you will be there for us, that you will provide for us everything that we need. I pray, God, that we can just sit back and rest in the truth, knowing that you're going to take care of us, that you've got this amazing plan for us, that you're going to lead us and guide us. I pray, God, that we can just set aside all those things that we worry about, all those things that we spend so much time trying to accomplish through our work, our homes or schools or whatever it might be, Lord, and that we just give them to you. I pray, God, that we will be able to find true rest and true peace in you today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.